Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Chicago, you're up next. November 11th and the 12th. Grand Rapids, December 9th and the 10th. Get your tickets to those shows on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I want to thank you again, whether you're new here or whether you've been here. I appreciate the love. I appreciate the support. If you are watching on YouTube, please hit the damn subscribe. Just hit it. You're watching it. Just click it because you know you want to watch it. And it's a free way to help the show. All right. It really does help out the show. And if you're one of the fans out there, it's got to have more, then you got to check out the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all. And I am highlighting the lowlights with y'all. And y'all have the lowest lowlights I have ever heard in my fucking life. All right. It is $5 a month. You get over a month free if you sign up for a year. And you're getting the Honeydew a day early ad free at no additional cost. All right. If you or someone you know out there, you're like, man, I got this story. It's got to be heard. Please email us at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. And hopefully we'll get to do an episode together. All right. The Night Pants Nation tour continues on into the winter. I can't thank you all enough. Chicago, I'll see you guys November 11th and 12th. And Grand Rapids, December 9th and 10th. All right. That's the biz right there. You guys know what we're doing over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And today I'm very excited to have this guest first time here on the Dew, y'all. Please welcome John Feidelberg. Welcome to the Honeydew.
Thank you so much. I'm so fucking nervous. Also, that was an unbelievable intro. You're a professional. Like, I work with Kevin with KFC a lot, and I'm used to seeing, like, I'm like the third mic on a two-man show, and I'm used to seeing Kevin be able to do that. And you might be a little better than Kevin. That was really,
really
good.
Thank you, man. I'll let him know. We'll tag him. It's really a pleasure to have you here. I'm a big fan, too. I love you guys. I watch you guys. And when I heard you were coming, I was like, I wonder if they'd want to do it. And Josh Potter, we were actually at the Comedy Store. It was the Monday night show. It was Josh Adam Meyer, Shimmy Ya show. And yeah. Potter and I were out back, and we were having a smoke. And I said, you know, I got KFC coming this week. And he's like, oh, you know, Feidelberg's with him. I was like, nah, you think he'd want to do it? And he's like, I'll text him. So, yeah, thank you for making time.
Are you
time,
kidding me?
Dude.
I come on any podcast ever. No one invites us ever on podcasts.
I'm super surprised by that.
I think, I don't know what it is. We never get invited on podcasts, but I would say yes to any podcast.
I'm over here like, he's doing a rare appearance.
It's a
you're like, yeah, I don't care if you have 500 listeners. I'm coming.
No one said hi. No, it's a pleasure to be here. I am nervous to be here because I'm so rarely a guest. I'm nervous to be on the show, but I do have one bone to pick.
Please.
Are we like a big Honeydew fan?
Huh? No.
Okay, good, because Honeydew is the worst fruit.
That's the whole point, and I know fans are sick of hearing this, but I'm going to tell you quickly. The whole point of it is I'm having dinner at a diner one night. They bring the fruit cup, and it's got everything in it. The Honeydew and all.
No, so I love it.
I eat the fucking red grapes that I don't even like. I eat around that Honeydew and I leave the fucking Honeydew just because I don't have a passion against it. I just don't fuck with Honeydew. It's just a watery, nothing fucking fruit.
Okay, now I feel like a buffoon. But
so as I'm walking out, I see the tables littered with Honeydew and I was like, huh. And the thought occurred to me like, well, that's a perfectly good fruit that people just throw away. And then I was like, oh my God, that's who I am in life. Dude. I'm this perfectly good person that has been tossed aside again and again and again, and I get it. So I decided that instead of, you know, I was saying to KFC, like, we all live SportsCenter on our phones. It's highlights of everything. Uh-huh. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I mean. But that's not really what the fuck's going on. And I want to know how you got there and what's the real shit behind your life. And that's what highlighting the low lights is all about.
That's the best fucking name. And that's the best, like, outlook on life I've ever heard. That's unbelievable.
I mean, I think that's so fucking cool, dude.
Fuck, that's so awesome. That's so sick.
Well, thank you. And I am excited to have you here. But before we talk about whatever we're going to talk about today, please plug, promote everything you'd like.
We don't have much. We don't do a lot. So listen to KFC
Radio.
We have
live shows, though,
right?
We
have live shows. I think November 10th, we're in Phoenix, 11th in Denver, 13th, we're at the Hollywood Cemetery here.
You guys are doing a live here at the cemetery?
Yeah, I think it's November
13th. Oh, please hit me up when you're coming back. Yes, and I want to come to that.
Fuck yeah.
All right, dude, that'd be great. Yes. Hell yeah, I didn't know they did that over there.
Neither did I.
I'm going to have to fucking piggyback off your bullshit after y'all are gone. I'm like, yeah, listen, here's my name. I'll wait to see if it's successful out there in the cemetery.
Hold the phone on
it
that.
It will be, dude. Yeah. They do movie night out there, and it's packed.
Really?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's fun. That's what I'm saying. That's great.
It should be cool. I hope I got it right. First of all, I hope I'm not completely misspeaking.
Not the Hollywood Cemetery at all.
Yeah, that's not the show where the show is. there's every chance of possibility of that.
I want to do Honeydew ghost stories at the Hollywood Cemetery.
Dude, that would be fucking sick. You a big ghost story guy?
If you got one, I love.
No, I don't have one.
Yeah, I'll say you could tell them anything. I love. I always like to be like, hey, it's bullshit, but then I'm the first guy to go tell it.
Bro, fuck it, I got one. I forget about them sometimes. I got one. So one day, right, this is back in high school, and I went to school in Port Rhode Island, and Corey's Lane was the street the school was on, and at the top of the street there was this old abandoned building, like really like just dilapidated kind of deal, and I had a buddy who broke into it, right? Stole like an Indian chief, basically, I mean, like kind of like a plaster type thing. Stole it, brings it back to his house.
Is it like the one that used to be out in front of the tobacco stores in the mall and
shit?
It's
much smaller, but like Kramer style. Okay, yeah. And so he brings it home. And then the next day he comes to school and is like, dude, I threw it back in the basement. Like I was having bad dreams. Like I think that thing's haunted. So I'm like, I'm going to go steal that thing back, and I'm going to put it back in his room, and he's going to be fucking terrified of it. So I go back, and I actually take a girl on a first date where we sneak into this abandoned building. Sneak in. I find the Indian statue, whatever, put it in my car. I get a call from my mom, like, hey, you got to go pick your brother up in Boston. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. I don't have time to go sneak it back into his room. Go pick my brother up in Boston, get in a car accident.
No.
So we're like, I'm like, fuck, man, maybe there's something to this thing. But I leave it in my house. I leave it in my garage. Like, I forget about it. I leave it there for years. And my buddy comes over. Like, we're in college now. At this point, we're probably juniors in college. My buddy comes over. And I'm like, oh, fuck. You know what I have? I have the Indian thing. I'm going to surprise him with it and scare him. So we go back into the garage. And I'm like, hey, Abes, by the way, look what I have still. And I throw him the Indian thing. He, like, it's kind of acting, kind of, like, scared. He's like, whoa! And then he slips, falls, slices his hand open on a table saw. And I was like, all right, we're getting rid of this fucking thing. We took it.
I want to punt that motherfucker.
Just threw it out into the woods. Yeah. Like, get this fucking thing out of here.
Duct tape this bitch up, roll it out in the woods.
Not quite a ghost story. More of just a series of unfortunate events. But
all right, so tell me about yourself, because I don't know anything about you. Let's talk about life. All right, where are you from originally?
I'm from Fall River, Massachusetts.
Okay, and are you an only child? Do you have siblings?
Oldest of four.
Four. Okay. Yeah. What do you have?
I got younger sister who I'm 33. She's 31. I got a brother who's 27 and a sister who's 25.
Okay. Are you guys all close?
Very close. Yeah. We're not one of those fighting families.
Are you all, does everyone still live local? You guys see one another?
Yeah, more or less. Everyone's in the Northeast.
Okay.
Two still in the hometown, one in Connecticut, me in New York.
And are your parents still together?
They are, yeah.
So you had a nice upbringing.
Yeah, I say that. Yeah. I say that I have like the kind of depression that you can only have if you were raised in like a happy home where you didn't really want for anything. Like, people are like, what do you have to be sad about?
I don't know. Chemical imbalance, dude. Depression. Okay. I got the opposite kind of depression.
You had a life where you earned it. My depression was a birthright. You had to go fucking through it.
So what is life like growing up for you? You're the oldest, so do you have to help take care of your brothers and sisters at all, or are you just out doing your thing? What's going on?
No, I had a stay-at-home mom, so it was. You did? Yeah. So
what'd your dad do?
He sold insurance, insurance still currently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. He's young. I got young parents. I think my parents are like 58, 59, something like that.
Oh, so they were like 20 when they had you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
On purpose, too.
Oh, yeah? Were they married then?
They were, yeah. They were. They married for 2 years when they had me.
How'd they meet?
High school sweethearts.
All in the same area, too?
Yep.
So yeah. Do you meet their friends and stuff too, like from high school? Have you met people they know?
Oh, for sure. Not a ton, but like enough. You know? I think like once I feel like once you get to the 60s, you're like, or borderline 60s, you got like three friends left, right? You don't have, I don't think you friends are something you carry for that long. I have mine in like chapters where I have like my elementary school friends, my high school friends, my college friends, work friends. You got like your three or four buddies you keep forever. But aside from that, so yes, I've met them.
All right. And what's your relationship with your dad like?
Good. Very good. Not weird in this, which is such a weird way to say it. Like, it's normal. It's a normal relationship with my dad. But no, we had a kid who worked with us who I'll always remember. His dad was a Redskins fan. And this kid hated his dad so much, he intentionally became a Cowboys fan.
to
piss his dad off. Yeah. I was like, no, I like the same sports teams as my
in
dad.
The house.
But I did actually, when I was really young, I was a Rangers fan. We're like a hockey house. And when I was really young, I was a Rangers fan. And I was born in 88, so I was about 6 in 94 when the Rangers won the cup. And I celebrated that. It went crazy. And I woke up in the morning, all my Rangers stuff was out of my room. My dad's like, it's a Bruins house. Like, you got your one cup, but it's a Bruins house. Back to the Bruins. Like, all
right. I had a kid come on the Patreon that told us this story that his dad was never around and he would get to see him maybe like twice a year. And this one time, it happened to be the Patriots Raiders tuck rule game. Okay. Oh. He's with his dad, he's watching it. And the Raiders get fucked, okay? And his dad had this, like, Raiders lamp, all right? And he gave his son this Raiders lamp. And his son was – and then, you know, again, he'd leave. You only see him, like, every 6 fucking months. So his son becomes this diehard fucking Raiders fan only because his father gave him this lamp and they watched this game together.
That's a good memory, I guess. Until
it's the honeydew with y'all. Okay? Until, yeah. That ain't the rest of the story. They reconnect like, I don't know, 10, 15 years later, okay? And he's like, why are you a Raiders fan? He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm a Patriots fan. He goes, huh? He goes, you gave me a Raiders lamp. He goes, like, some guy at work gave that fucking thing to me. I just thought maybe I'd give it to you. He's like, you got to be fucking kidding me. He ended up rooting for the team that beat his team. He's like, I'm rooting for the Patriots. He's like, and then he goes, and I should have thought about it. I look around the house. There's a Tom Brady thing in the bathroom and a Patriots thing. You didn't put that together. He goes, nah. All this time, he thinks the only thread that of fuck yeah that he has with his father is the Raiders. Like, they're like, why do you like the Raiders? You live in, and he lived in Massachusetts. Like, because my dad likes them, and his dad didn't like him at all. He just gave him this shitty lamp.
Dude, that's a sad story in any sense, but particularly sad story when the time period was 15 years, you said, was like the greatest era of football of all
time. For
them,
especially.
Right? Like, you're fucking in Massachusetts. You don't get to celebrate Tom.
You're rooting against him. Yeah, because your dad is, and he's not, but he's not.
Dude, every day, literally every year, school's going crazy because the Pats are back in the Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
And you're like, oh, fuck it. It was a fumble. God. Charles Woodson's right.
Yeah. Yeah. God damn it.
That is tough, dude.
Yeah.
That is tough.
What's your mom like? What's your relationship with your mom like?
My mom, it's fantastic. It's great. But she's a bit of a nut job. Like, she's become like a character on the show.
Yeah.
Where she's like, she likes to describe herself like her mother was a depression mom. So she's like, She's not, it's, I can't even really think of how to describe her. She's
what do you mean by that, a depression mom? Her mom had depression?
No, her mom grew up in the depression era. The so okay. She's like, you guys do whatever the fuck you want. I don't really give a shit. Like, see, I guess the perfect story to describe my mom in particular would be my, Kevin calls this my origin story. I got E. coli when I was in fifth grade. And for any fan of ours who's listening to the show was like, shut the fuck up, John. We know. Shut up.
But I don't know. But, tell me.
So I get E. coli in fifth grade.
Do you know how?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'll shut up.
And I get E. coli in fifth grade. And I'm sick for a while. And my mom's like, she's an Irish mom, so she's like, here's a glass of milk, you'll feel better. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of sickness you had, here's a glass of milk, you'll be okay. And I keep getting sick. And, you know, E. coli is a messy sick. And I'm sick for a long time. And finally, she's like,
are you, like, throwing up and shitting everywhere? All
everywhere, dude. It's brutal. And
are you still having to go to school during this? Or are you just, like, because you don't know what's going on?
Still going to school for now. She wasn't, like, a force me to school, because there was a time when I didn't go to school for 18 Mondays in a row and they had to call the police on her.
We're going to come back to that.
This is after that. And so finally she's like, all right, you know what? We'll bring you to CVS. We'll get you some Pepto-Bismol. And I'm like so angry that I'm like, take me to the doctor, dude. Take me to the hospital. And so they give me a Pepto-Bismol. I just chug it and spike it. And I went, now take me to a doctor.
The whole thing?
That'll make me sick.
Like, that was my little like petty act of kind of like fighting back. So we get to a doctor. Into the hospital, and they run their tests, and they find out I have E. coli. And the doctor's like, now he has E. coli. Like, have you eaten any rotten meat lately? And in the middle of my saying no, my mom goes, yeah. And I was like, lady, I'm in fifth grade. What are you talking about? How do you know for sure I've eaten rotten meat? And she was making me American chop suey, which is like a New England type meal. And she was like, I had a feeling something was funny with that meat when I was cooking it. Made it anyway. She now likes to say that I was the only one who got sick, so it's more about me than the rest of the family, than everyone else. But this was Christmas time, and I end up in the hospital for 2 weeks.
Damn.
Right?
You spent
Christmas in the hospital?
Because your mom knew she gave you bad meat.
Because she knew she gave you bad meat. And how about this? They fucking come to the hospital on Christmas Eve, my mom and my dad, and they're like, you good? And I said, yeah, I'm good.
You're in fifth grade?
Yeah. And my mom got me a popsicle and said, fucking see you later.
No.
And they went to my my aunt and uncle's holiday party, which I could see out the window. Charlton Memorial Hospital in Fall River, Mass. The fucking Christmas party was on Highland Ave. You could look out the window. I'd be like, there they are. I fucking looked out the window and I watched Santa Claus pull up in a Buick LeSabre. Right? they would like hire Santa. So I watched a hired Santa.
Just shit watching it from the toilet. Just
you gotta be kidding me, dude. So that's the kind of mom she is. She's like, you'll be fine. Fucking grow up.
She's like, we gotta get out of here. Santa's coming.
Oh, that's good. I told that story on the podcast. Dude, I think probably the second time I ever told it. I told that we used to have Asa Akira, porn star, mm-hmm. Who was our co-host, and I told her that story. And like I always think of all like the sad things as funny things. Like that's right? Like that is a joke.
That's what this is all about. Right? Yeah.
And I watched her fucking weep.
She
was crying, and I was like,
crying, laughing.
Dude, that was the first time I ever thought, I was like, oh, is it sad? I thought it was just like a fun, funny story. She's like, that's so heartbreaking. I was like, I guess. Like, I don't know. I fucking told this story every day for 10 years, so it worked out pretty well for me.
Well, go back to the, what was it, 18 Mondays in a row?
18 Mondays in a row, bro.
What is that all about?
Dude, I think I was in second grade, and I just fucking, I never liked school. I hated school. I failed out of seven colleges.
Seven?
Yeah, bro.
How long did you take to fail out of seven
I did it
college?
4 years, man.
You should get a degree for that.
You should have some kind of paperwork for that.
I never thought about that. I squeezed seven colleges into a fucking four-year degree.
I don't know what degree you should have, but there should be some kind of official signature at the bottom of it.
Oh, but the... Yeah, it was like I was the only one in school at the time of my siblings. All four of us were born, but I was the only one who was currently in school, so I was in second grade. And my mom was always like a mental health day advocate, which was ahead of her time. Like, you know, this is early 90s, and she's like, eh, if you need a mental health day, I'm not going to force my fucking kids to school. If you don't, whatever. And I had on Mondays, my best friend, he was dyslexic, and so he'd go to special needs class on Mondays. And I was like, yo, if Brendan's not in class, like, I'm not fucking going. I go to school to hang out with my boys. I don't go to school to learn.
Right.
And my boys aren't there. Then what's the point of me being there? And so the first Monday, I kind of threw like a temper tantrum as a second grader would do. And my mom was like, fuck it. You know what? Fine. Go back to bed. I don't really care. Whatever. And I kind of realized that power I had where I was like, if I bitch enough, I can do what I want. And the second Monday came around, did the same thing. She's like, all right, fine. Fuck it. Whatever. I don't care. Go back to bed. Third Monday, a little less. By the fourth Monday, she wasn't even waking me up anymore. She was like...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Side.org.
John just doesn't go to school on Mondays. Like, whatever. Like, dude, it got to the point where, like, probably six Mondays in, teachers in school, like, I almost became like a legend in school. Teachers would be like, hey, it's the Monday off kid. And like, teachers who didn't even know me, like fifth grade teachers, would be like, oh, it's the Monday off kid. And then it got to the point, I think it was the number is up for debate. No one really remembers the number, but we do know that it was the police were called on her, the truant police. So
they still were a thing.
They showed up at the house being like, your kid has to go to school.
We used to hear that shit all the time. Yeah. Like, they don't exist.
I was in second grade, so I don't really know if it was a regular cop who was just kind of coming on a call. If like there actually is like the truant cop, whatever it was, but it was like the police came and like, he has to go to school, he has to go back to class.
Yeah, my daughter's mother and I just got a friendly call from the vice principal at her elementary school, who likes me because she happens to be a diehard Ravens fan also. So she and I will shoot the shit whenever I drop her off and stuff. So she's like, hey, this is a friendly call. Because I've taken my daughter out of school like to go visit her cousins in October, because I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. We live all the way out here. It's more important right now than first grade to go spend a weekend with your cousins in October.
100,000%.
I'm going to do a show. You get to come. We're going to hang out. It's Halloween. Like, let's fucking go. And then, you know, a couple things here and there. And they were like, listen, an excused absence isn't when both parents are cool with it.
Yeah.
They're like, it's got to be sick. I'm like, oh. She's like, so don't be so honest when you say it's for vacation. We're like, all right, we got it.
Dude, I'm learning that like,
you know,
right now.
But also, like, I appreciate the call, but y'all didn't want our kids at that school for two fucking years. Now all of a sudden you're going to call us. And she said they'll escalate it. I'm like, you ain't no escalating nothing right. Over here. You didn't even want kids in that school. Now you're going to be bitching if they're not there.
They're not there
the
often
fuck
enough.
Out of here. Yeah. Go Ravens.
It's particularly at that age, if the parents are like, it's cool they're not coming, that should be absolutely fucking cool. I feel like that's happening more often now, where like every once in a while you'll see like a teacher that goes viral where like they sent the parent home with a note that's like, hey, we're a third grade class, I don't assign homework. Have the kid go play.
Have a childhood. Play games with your kid.
100%. Yes. And like, I again, it happens viral occasionally, so maybe it's more in my mind than it actually is happening. But like, that's so much more important, getting to spend your family or have a childhood, than it is to, like, I don't know, you passed some proficiency exam that the state makes you take.
Well, I know. I mean, I got the Presidential Physical Fitness Award. I was a 3.0 student. I wasn't a 4.0 student. But the things I remember from my childhood are those things.
Yeah.
Like moments with my grandmother, cousins, family stuff with my dad, my brothers, fishing, crabbing. I don't, you know, school was, fuck, I hated it. It was get your homework done as soon as you get home and then you can go play, do whatever you want. So I've always, I sort of taken that into my life too. Like if I have responsibilities on the table, I'm not going to go fuck off until, let me get this shit out of the way. And then I'll get that done, you know?
See, that's, I wish I had that because I don't have that. I have, let's fuck off, let's fuck off, let's fuck off. oh, shit, it's due. Time to get it done.
Listen, I'm not saying I'm bad at 1,000. I procrastinate a lot, but not all the time, you know?
I think you procrastinate as long as, like, until it bites you in the ass. And unfortunately, I've got, well, I think a lot of people would say failing out of 7 colleges would mean it bit you in the ass.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
I just hate, like, same thing like you're saying. Like, I hated school. I did not.
You said, but there's a difference between failing out and just leaving.
No, yeah. it was
like you're still there doing the.
They were like, you probably should, like, have you, like, thought of, like, a trade school? Like, this isn't for you. But yeah, nothing of note ever really happened. It was just.
Who's the 7th university that looked at your record was like, we'll take them. We'll take
Well, it's a bit of a cheat because it got to the point where, like, I was no longer enrolled in schools. I was taking classes on a fucking track. But I started at St. Michael's College, which is in Burlington, Vermont. I did a little East Coast tour.
Okay.
And then I went to UMass Dartmouth.
I've been to Burlington. It's nice up there.
Yeah, it's fucking nice as shit.
Yeah, it's nice.
I actually guess, so I studied abroad when I was in high school. I went to a boarding school and I studied abroad then.
We're going to come back to that.
I studied abroad then, and so, like, I guess you could count those two colleges with, like, URI and University of Salamanca. I don't count them, I don't think. I lose track of those. Like, almost, like, I lose track of the days, how many days I missed, the Mondays. I lose track of the colleges, but it was St. Michael's to UMass Dartmouth to Florida State, that was my longest tenure. I did 2 years at FSU.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. I never went to a fucking class once. But
I'll bet. That's still a party school.
We were talking about that with Bert last night, where Bert was like, dude, I graduated. I was like, yeah, I didn't. You must have, like, however bad a student you think you are, I was worse because I didn't graduate.
But in your defense, if you'd have done 6 more years, you could have got your bachelor's too.
I probably could have. I don't know, man. I went to like 3 classes the whole time. I probably couldn't have.
I think he said 7 or 8 years he's there. Yeah. You know, he's there forever. You should get it. Most people have their doctorate. Right. You know?
But then I went up to, went back to UMass Dartmouth after that, then Providence College, then NYU. But NYU was like, I was taking like script writing classes. Gotcha. Like I wasn't an enrolled student at NYU.
But what was it about? Why would you keep doing that if you didn't have a passion for it? Did you feel like you had to? See, that's the only reason I ever went to college. I just had a conversation with my daughter's mom about it too. Like, I don't know that I'm not going to push college. Like, if she wants to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, and you still have to go to college to do this, then okay. But if she's going to go creative or anything like that, man, fuck college.
See, I'm like, my
college
family,
if you have to now. That's right. It. If it's part of the job you want to do and you got to go to 4 years of this and 2 years of, okay. But if it's not, fuck college.
I absolutely 100% agree. Like, I part of it is like kind of like, like being self-centered, I guess, where I'm like, I don't need to be here. Fuck it. But it was the worst decision of my life.
But also, I'm older than you. I'm 49. How old are you?
I'm 33.
Okay, so 49. My parents come from a generation of, if you want to get better yourself, you got to go to college. Most of them didn't go to college. Yeah. So what you're hearing from the people who did go to college a lot of now is fuck college.
Fuck college, right, yeah. Right. That's
so
true.
So let's listen to the people who went there and went through it and are saying fuck college, not the people who didn't go, who are encouraging you to do this extra education because you think that automatically it's going to better you in life. And that's not true necessarily for a lot of people. I know it is for some of y'all, it is, But for a lot of people, it's not. So listen to the people that are saying fuck college, because it's a loud voice and it's absolutely true.
Yeah, you're 100% right. True. Even when I was growing up, and like it would seem that like my parents forced me into college, but they didn't. It was just like something I thought, right. Like society forced me into college.
And for me, at that time, I have no parental guidance at all. So I'm just going to college because that's what I think I'm supposed to do. Mm. I don't know. I'm supposed to do this next level shit, and I'm supposed to get this degree, and I'm supposed to go out in the world and then make something of myself. And I'm like, not for everybody.
Yeah, you think it's just a step, and it's a step you can skip. Some of them you can jump over.
Boarding school. Tell me about that. What age are you going, and why are you going to a boarding school?
So I cheated a little bit. I went to boarding school. It was a boarding school, but I was a day student. So like it was.
So what is what exactly is the boarding school? What's different about it?
It was Portsmouth Abbey is where it was.
To stay over though, right?
There were probably 60 day students in the school, maybe less than that. There are about 400 kids total, maybe 60 or day students. I'm gonna mess up the numbers, but I remember being very proud when I went there that like I want to say it was 27 states and 19 countries or something like that went to the school.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, like, it's not just a local school.
No. There were kids from Korea. There were kids from the South America, kids from Europe. Like, it was people from everywhere, which I thought was a very cool experience. It did kind of fuck me a little bit, though, because I stopped washing my face because a British kid told me that if you use soap, you get acne. And I stopped washing my face from high school until Whitney Cummings made fun of me like last year.
You know what's funny? I saw your new facial routine, and I got to tell you, you are glowing. You're glowing. You're glowing.
But no, so like, I kind of cheated it being that it was...
Even just put water on it or anything?
I put water on it. That was it,
but
bro.
But no
that
soap.
That was the only stuff
never took on. Even a rag and just wiped the not dirt once. Off of it.
Not once. Over, amazing, over two decades,
no,
dude.
Nah. Did you take your hands at least with the water I mean,
like,
and wipe?
Yeah, like splash water like that, and that would be the fucking end of it. But... Yeah, I learned a lot more important things at school than washing your face.
Isn't it funny that one thing this one kid tells you at this one moment, and it fucking sticks with you for two decades for nothing?
That's the way I am with everything, though. Like, if you tell me something right now, done.
And this fucking British kid, and he doesn't even remember. He's over there lathering his shit up. He don't even remember telling you that.
Yeah. I believe that shit forever, man. I still haven't had an almond since like 2008. Because the guy in a gym told me almonds make you hungrier. And I was like, he's like, hey, if you're trying to cut weight, almonds make you hungrier. And I was like, I'm not touching fucking almonds anymore.
Well, you know that eating celery is actually you burn calories while you're eating it.
I did know that.
Did you eat celery because of that?
Yeah, when I get buffalo wings. They bring out a whole tray of buffalo wings. I send it back full. I just wanted the celery. Thanks.
There's nothing quite like the smell of fresh baked bread coming right out of the oven, especially on a chilly morning during the holidays. Wild Grain is here to give you just that without all the hard work. Wild Grain is the first bake from frozen box for artisanal bread. Plus, they have amazing rolls, pastries, and even handmade pastas. Wild Grain uses only clean ingredients and utilizes a slow sourdough fermentation process that's healthier for you, and it tastes better than anything you can find in a grocery store. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less. Plus, for every new member, Wild Grain donates 6 meals to the Greater Boston Food Bank. They've donated over 120,000 meals so far. This holiday season, Wild Grain is featuring delicious new limited-time sweet treats such as pumpkin cinnamon rolls, orange cranberry biscuits, and chocolate avalanche croissants. All you have to do is sign up at wildgrain.com, honeydew, and choose which type of box you want to receive and how often. It's easy to reschedule, skip, or cancel. I got a box myself, and the croissants are flaky. The bread is amazing, but I'm telling you, their frozen pasta took me right back to what my grandma used to make. Hungry already? For a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/honeydew to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/honeydew. That's wildgrain.com/honeydew, or you can use promo code honeydew at checkout. Chill out all summer long with Dadgrass because it's too nice out to be couch locked. They'll mellow you out while keeping your head clear and ease away the stress of the day. Dadgrass is legal, organic hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Dadgrass CBD products are made with 100% organic hemp that's easy to dose and the effects come on smooth. They offer a variety of products from their smokable pre-rolled joints, which are my favorite, as well as hemp flower and a variety of CBD tincture drops. Enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Go to dadgrass.com/honeydew to check out their products. So whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. Right now, Dadgrass is offering my listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/honeydew. Go to dadgrass.com/honeydew for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/honeydew. Lately, I've been out on the Night Pants Nation tour having to watch my Ravens games from the phone, and actually, it's been great, and one reason it's been great to listen to is because I use my Raycon wireless earbuds to do it. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever, and with optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable, and they will not budge. Trust me, Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. Raycons are priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycons everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. Raycons' three customizable sound profiles mean no matter what I'm listening to, it sounds great, and I can easily switch to awareness mode to hear flight announcements without pulling my whole earbud out. Go to buyraycon.com today and use code HONEYDEW15 to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's code HONEYDEW15 at buyraycon.com to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com, code HONEYDEW15. Now, let's get back to the do. So why boarding school?
My dad went to one. And then, so me and my dad used to go to, because in New England, the Pats were a more recent team, right? And so like, my grandfather had season tickets to the Giants, because when he was becoming a fan, the Giants were New England's team. I think they had their training camp up in Vermont, actually in Burlington, I think. So me and my dad, he had those season tickets like throughout my childhood. And me and my dad would go to one game a year. And we'd always take the train down.
Is that right? So before the New England dominance, most fans up there were root for the Giants? Or a lot of the older fans?
The older fans. Got yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it's all my grandparents' age. But I don't know what year the Pats were founded, but it was because the Giants had training camp in New England, they were kind of adopted as their team. At least it's a story I've been told. So we take the train down to the game once a year. And the train goes through Connecticut. My dad went to boarding school in Connecticut. And one day he was just like, hey, you know, I went to boarding school, right? And I was probably like seven. I was like, I'm not seven, I was 15. And I always say, like, if I'm telling a story in his childhood, I always just say seven. Because I never know exactly what age I am. He's like, you know, I went to boarding school, right? I was like, yeah. And he said, would that be something you're interested in? I said, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. I don't know. I'm a follower. I'm pretty easily directed. And he went, okay, cool. And the next morning I woke up with like 15 pamphlets. Like he had them like in his holster. Ready. I had like 15 pamphlets bedside being like, what do you know these boarding schools? I was like, oh, I thought we were just fucking talking, dude. But his rule with my mom was that it had to be a local boarding school that I could be a day student at, because he thought he missed out on some of his childhood going to one, boarding one.
And how old are you when you're about to start this?
15. I went to public school my freshman year. I was 15, 16, no, 14.
So 15. You happen to have, fortunately, this kick-ass boarding school
right down
where
the
you could commute.
Yes. Yeah.
Where
yeah.
Obviously everyone else, Korea, would have to fucking live there.
Yeah. One of my best friends I met down there is from New Orleans. And I was like, how the fuck did you find this place? And I guess it's a profession that there is like people who, in like the South where there aren't boarding schools, or at least not New England boarding schools, they're basically like recruiters.
So what is the purpose of a boarding school?
I don't really know.
What are they selling you on? What do they
religion.
Tell you?
I mean,
it's religious?
Mine was Catholic, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Jesuit, maybe, but Catholic.
All right.
But yeah, we had like monks on campus and shit like that. I don't really know what the point of it is, to be honest, other than like, you know, they argue it's a better education. I think education, you kind of get what you put into it. You can get a good one no matter where. But I definitely I learned a lot at it, like as far as routine and all that kind of shit.
Outside of facial routine.
They never taught you that either. The religion so much didn't really stick with me. The religion didn't stick with me because, dude, there was one day. We had to go to church every Tuesday and Sunday. We went to school 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And there was one, I'll never forget this. There was one time Brother Joseph was talking on a Tuesday where he's talking about the Bible and how, like, everything's not meant to be taken literally and yada, yada, yada. And which is just moving the goalposts, if you ask me. But the, he said, he's like, you know, and like every story about Jesus wasn't put into the Bible. Like, there's a story where Jesus, when he was a child, he made another kid disappear because he wouldn't share his toy with him. Now, why would we put that in? Who would believe that? And I was like, fucking me. Like, if you're trying to sell me on a supernatural being, the guy, the one who doesn't know his powers at that time and makes a kid disappear because he wouldn't share his toy, that sounds realistic to me. Or not realistic, but like, that
believable.
Sounds, right, that sounds believable. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing about like his childhood and shit like that. But I was not a fan of the religious aspect of it.
And so 10th, 11th, and 12th grade there?
All there, yeah. And then, I mean, some people would say that boarding schools for sports. Our school was not particularly
like college is for sports. I did seven of these motherfuckers. Seven.
But yeah, it was, I loved it. That was, if I had to say like what the best part of my life was, I would say then those are my glory days,
which is boarding school,
which is a real sad thing to say, but it is, it's also the truth. Like that was when I was the most me ever, I think.
Now, do you have, are your grandparents alive? Do you have a close relationship with them?
I had a close relationship with one grandfather. He passed away. But I have one grandfather who's still alive who, not a bad relationship, but just not, you know, we talk a few times a year.
Is he local?
He's local. Yeah, he's in Boston.
Yeah, and what about grandmoms?
They're both passed. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, there was when my one grandmother passed, I was living in Boston and she was living in Boston as well. The grandfather who's living, it's his wife. And I was living in Boston. I was probably like 24. And I get a call like 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Like, John, your grandmother passed away. You're gonna have to go over to the apartment and see what's going on. And I was like, all right, hungover as shit. You know, like 24-year-old in Boston. Oh, I think I got a sock skin the night before or whatever. Hungover as shit. And I go over to the apartment, and my grandfather opens the door and gives me a hug. He's like, you know, your grandmother's in the other room. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, my dad says she died. He's like, she's dead. I was like, then what the fuck is she doing in the other room?
He's not crying or anything.
No. And I was like, what do you mean she's in the other room? And he's like, if you want to just go say goodbye. I'm like, dude, I am too hungover.
What condition is she in? Is she peacefully in the bed? You know what I mean?
Like, hang on. Just like a dead grandmother.
Arms bent behind her back. She choked to death.
Yeah, heart attack.
There's some chicken on the table. He's still alive.
She's got blood force trauma to the back of her head.
Jesus Christ. Like, I'm out of, could you just throw out some magic too? Yeah. Before I go in there, God damn.
I didn't go. I was like, I'm gonna go in the living room.
Listen, I don't blame you.
I was like, dude, I'm hungover as shit. I'm gonna go in the living room, put TV on, put on SportsCenter. Can you grab me a beer?
And you just sat there and waited with them while they came and got the body?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Not a fun experience.
Dude. No, that's not good. And what about, that's your, whose dad was, or mom was that?
That was my dad's mom.
Your dad's mom. Yeah, so yeah. You were
And that
close.
Was later in life. That was, you know, I didn't really have much law. My mother's mom passed away when I was really young, but like almost, in those formative years, I didn't really have a lot of loss. I had one before, I have memories, and then the rest of them when like I'm in my 20s, 30s.
But her dad you were closer with?
Yeah.
What was he like?
He's a judge. He was a man. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He was fucking man.
Was he? Tell me about him.
He's just an old Irish guy who...
A lawyer first?
Lawyer first, yeah. He kind of one of those like grew up poor. He was like kind of the... I guess he would be like one of the success stories of our family.
I want to ask you this because this is my own ignorance. Can you get to be a judge without ever being a lawyer first?
I think you can
be a head coach in the NFL without ever having to fucking play. Right. Can you be a judge without having to study law?
I'm from another angle. I can't give you a definitive answer. I'm going to guess 100% yes, you have to be a lawyer, but I don't know for sure. But yeah, went to like a Suffolk college up in Massachusetts, Suffolk University up in Massachusetts, put himself through George Washington or Georgetown Law. And
damn.
Then he's like kind of like the grew up poor and kind of made something of himself kind of deal. But he's just fucking, he's actually one of the people I miss the most in the sense that like he was wise. Right? Like, I don't know any wise people anymore.
Tell me some, give us some wisdom
here.
All of us could use it.
I don't have anything really specific. Like
nothing
like,
that stands out that he ever said anything to you or like, man. So wait, you're telling me that you have a judge for a grandfather had, excuse me, who's one of the wisest men you ever met. You can't tell me one thing he said, but you can remember this 10-year-old fucking British kid telling you not to wash your motherfucking face with
stuff. You're 100% right, dude.
Okay, you definitely
belong on this show.
I can give you the best advice he ever gave me is don't die.
Yeah, and
I mean that literally in the sense that like, so he, because you know he's a judge, he's obviously a real sharp mind, he's sharp as a tack up until the day he died, but he fucking went through hell, man. Like his last 15 years of life were just a battle, like always in and out of the hospital, always different kind of surgeries. He ended up like epinephrine, I think, was a painkiller used on him during a surgery. And then he was allergic to that. So they had to cut off his arm, cut off a foot, cut off some toes on the other foot. And he was like, he always told my mom, he's like, until my mind goes, don't let me die. He's like,
he didn't care that they're basically hacking him apart on his way out.
No, he's like, as long as I'm still here, I'm going to be here.
And that's a medical mistake. Your arm just doesn't fucking fall off in your 70s and shit. Yeah. Holy shit. And he was like, I don't give a fuck. As long as I know who everybody is and I can still know what's going on.
Exactly. If I can have a conversation, I want to be
still here up, man. If I'm a bust on the fucking fireplace, keep me alive, goddamn.
I kind of like that. It's not like, as long as I'm still here.
He's also from a man from a different generation, what I mean? Like, those guys are like, what are you being such a pussy about?
Exactly. Yeah. Dude, I was saying that with Bert last night, where Bert was talking about one of his dogs, I forget if it was Mac or Izzy, but has anxiety. I was like, can you imagine telling your fucking grandparents that my dog has anxiety?
They would take that dog out back and they killed him. Your dog doesn't have anxiety anymore. How come, Grandpa? Don't worry about it. Ran away.
I gotta leave dinner early. I can get home and give the dog its pills in case there's a thunderstorm tonight.
That is definitely what's going on. The dog needs its meds.
Like, you know I stormed Normandy, right? Like,
God, imagine telling a man that. God, they see some real shit.
Bro, I fucking fought fascism, man.
Yeah. Guys throwing up on my back while we're getting ready to be shot at. Like, what? Oh, God. You can't eat peanuts? Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, man, we have gotten soft. We have gotten soft, man.
I tell that story because I had a situation with an ex-girlfriend where it was like things went bad. Things were bad. Where it was like suicidal threats and all that kind of stuff, like pregnancy, fake pregnancies and kind of shit like that. And one morning I woke up and I had I spit blood into the sink, like mouthfuls of blood. I was like, woke up gagging, ran to the sink, spit, just fucking red everywhere. And I pull my lip down to see what because I could feel like it hurt all down here. And I pull my lip down and it looks rotten. Like all my gums look fucking rotten. Like call my dentist. I was like, I gotta come in. Like I got an emergency. And I used to chew tobacco a lot. So I was thinking like it's something like cancer finally got me or some shit like that. And I get to the dentist and he's like, all right, sit down, looks at my mouth. He goes, well, first things first, it's not cancer. I know you're scared of that. I was like, all right.
Did you have your mom's meat again? No? All right. Let's go deeper here.
And he goes, well, like, can I ask you, do you have any stress in your life right now? And I was like, buddy, Dr. K, why don't you sit down? Like, I'll tell you a tale or two, right? And he goes, because what you have is a thing called trench mouth. And I was like, I have what? And he's like, it's what they got in World War I in the trenches. And it had nothing to do with the bacteria. It had to do with the stress and anxiety of being scared of like Agent Orange. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That men used to fear biochemical weapons, and now this chick's scaring me? Like, I have the same fear like my forefathers had in the fucking trenches fighting fascism.
World War
One. Like in 1918, dude. Then I'm like, because
not
she called.
Not even the sequel, right, the original
one. She left me a voicemail shaking a bottle of pills and saying she's going to end it. That fucking put me in the same state as them.
Like, there's fucking German tanks rolling over my head, motherfucker. And that's all the stress they got, which is a little bit of shit down here. You know?
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, yeah. They woke up spitting blood once or twice, and they went back to war.
Damn.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
So what was going on through in your life at that time? What's some of the, like, I mean, with going through all these colleges, are you like just trying to find your place? And when do you?
I would argue I still haven't really.
You're on the right path. So when does that find? Because college definitely wasn't it.
College wasn't it. But I think that was because of me. Like, that was my fault. Like, I was popular, I guess, in high school. Like, I was a good athlete. It was fun. It was cool, right? So, like, you know, our school actually never really had, like, because it was so small, didn't really have those kind of cliques. Like, everyone was friends. So it wasn't like I was part of the popular crew. But, like, people liked me, and, like, that was fine. So now I would get to college, and we'd do those orientation-type things. And because I was, like, I was cool, dude, I was too cool to do that shit. And so, like, I wouldn't go to play the name game or whatever fucking bullshit you do at orientation. And guess what? You don't meet anyone that way. So then, like, I wouldn't have any friends. And then I'd be like, well, I don't have any friends. Why do I fucking like it here? And then I'd think, well, I'll try a new place. Maybe I'll make friends there. But there, I'd still be like, well, I'm too cool for friends. And I never found my place in college. Even when I joined a fraternity when I went to FSU, hoping that would do it. Did not fit in there at all.
What'd you have to do to get in?
Nothing. Because how about this? I played club hockey at FSU. And
ice hockey?
Yeah.
Oh, you play hockey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Florida State has a fucking ice hockey team?
It's a club hockey team that at the time wasn't particularly good. I don't know how they're doing now. But, like, I remember when I first went to, like, tryouts, they were like, all right, who here has hockey experience? And everyone raised their hands. Like, who has ice hockey experience? Like, everyone put their hands down. I was like, this is the ice hockey team, guys. Like, the fuck you mean you've never played ice hockey before? They did, because in the fraternity, they thought that that was, like, an actual sport. Like, I was equal to fucking Jameis Winston. Like, they thought we were on the same plane. And so they didn't make me do anything. But then the hockey team knew that, like, fraternities were king. So, like, I could call out a practice for hockey, saying I had to do frat stuff. I could call out a pledge stuff at the fraternity, saying I had to do hockey stuff. And I could sit at home and not hang out with anybody and get depressed.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. And not meet more
and
friends.
And not meet people. Yeah. I could lie to both organizations I joined to make friends.
You found a lot of loopholes to stay alone.
Right. I was really depressing. You're right. But yeah, I forget what I was saying there. But
just when you really started to feel like at home, and like where you started to start to think, all right, maybe I got something here. Like, what do you do right out of college? After college is done?
The reason I stopped going to NYU, where I was just taking classes, mm-hmm. was I got an internship at Barstool.
Okay.
So that was 12 years ago, right? I got an internship at Barstool, and I was Kevin's intern. I was KFC's intern. And I got really lucky with that, because I was one of the finalists in the Boston intern search. And I didn't get that gig, because I didn't know how to edit. I didn't know how to do anything. And that's what they were looking for. But then I was like, well, I'll just try New York. I'll just try New York and see what happens there. And Kevin gave me the gig. And I was very lucky for that, because Kevin right away like kind of gave me some freedom and some like let me be myself. Where it was, he's like, yeah, write, blog, who cares? Whereas the Boston intern had to be more of like a, you know, Dave's pet kind of deal. I think Dave called him the intern slave. And whereas Kevin was like, no, he didn't treat him like an equal, but he was like, yeah, if you want to work, work, you know, try your best. And then that kind of, that spiraled into Dave being like, who is this guy? Like, where's he from? And he found out I was from Massachusetts, brought me back to Massachusetts, worked there until we moved offices 6 years ago. But like, I mean, I guess, yeah, you, I mean, if you asked an outsider, if you asked someone else, like, have I found my place? They'd probably say, yeah, of course. Like, you know, he's been at Barstool for 12 years. He's one of the first employees. He's got a successful podcast. But I don't think at all that I've found my place. Well, I've never been comfortable walking into a room being like, I have myself.
Are you happy with what you do? Do you like working for you?
Those are different questions. I like working for me. I guess, yes, I am happy with what I do. Yes. I don't think I'm happy with life. But well,
what's your place then? What do you see yourself doing ultimately?
I've said that one day, and it probably is sooner rather than later.
And you're how old?
33.
Okay.
I hope to just disappear. And like go up to, we've actually invented
DB Cooper.
Yeah. We've invented a city. It's Stepping Stone, Vermont. We're like, I just go to this little town in Vermont and I fucking write for the local paper and I ski and I hang out. And that's like, I'm not on the internet anymore. I'm not public anymore. You know, but that would be, but that's the 7 year plan, we'll call it. By 40, we're fucking out of here.
Really? Out by 40, huh?
I mean, I'm joking a little bit, but yeah, like,
Could be, you would.
If I could be, I probably would. I don't like, it's just like, I don't like logging onto the internet every morning. Mm-hmm. It does not make me happy. I've for a long time, I've tried and distanced myself more and more, which is like, it's hard in our line of work, right?
Yeah.
Like you gotta promote
every day,
shit
you
like
gotta
that.
Put some goddamn content up and try to get away from the shit.
Right. Yeah. And it is like the comments and stuff like that bother me. I know a lot of people like to pretend like they're above it and like, oh, fuck it.
That's because you were loved. Right? No, bro. That's because you were loved. A lot of people, it doesn't bother them. Like, my mom told me she hated me, bro.
Right.
Fuck your comment. Yeah. You're a pool guy with 9 followers, fuckface.
That shit, like, dude, I mean, I'll get 100 positive comments. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember the one that wasn't. And it is like I've tried to, I mute, you know, you get a bad comment, I mute that person, fuck it. They're never going to hear from them again. But like every day it definitely wears on me. Like I just logging in every day is like, I could feel it chip away, and I hope to salvage a little bit by the end of this.
So what do you want to be a dad? You see yourself being a dad?
I don't not want to be a dad. If it happens, it happens. I can't see myself being a dad. I don't think I'd be a good one.
Why?
I'm very selfish. I think that's okay. I actually think selfish gets a bad rap, where I think like, look, we only got one of these lives. If like, I'd like to do the things I want to do. I don't know. Like I really love traveling. I really love doing what I want to do when I want to do it. And I realize that if I have to care for someone else, like that's not my option.
Yeah.
So like if it's not in like a 5 year plan or 10 year plan, you know, maybe one day, but currently right now, I'm not having a vasectomy tomorrow, but currently right now, I don't want kids.
And do you have any? Your parents seem very supportive. Is there any pressure from them?
Oh fuck no,
they don't mind having four. You have three kids, four of you.
They're four
total,
of us,
yeah. And they're not pressuring any of you.
No, but I'm like my sister is pregnant. I guess maybe by the time it's out, she might have had a kid.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Is that your first? Going to be an uncle the first time?
First time. Yeah.
Are you excited about that?
I'm very excited. Yeah. I think it'll be cool.
You think you'll be a better uncle than a father?
I think so. I don't think I'd be a bad dad, but again, like I said, I just want to be.
You know. Well, with the uncle, you have exactly that.
Exactly.
I'm out.
Yeah. See you later.
My grandmother used to say all the time when we leave, she's like, "I love you to come, I love you to go." Like, shut up, grandma.
That is fucking awesome. I like that.
You're not stuck here in my ass, you know.
But yeah, yeah, no, I'm very excited. I'm a godfather, which isn't the same thing at all. I think maybe in some relationships it is. But I'm a godfather to a kid who actually, he just moved out east, but he used to be out here in San Diego, who I'd barely met in most of his life. So that's not really being a godfather. I'd send him presents on his birthday. That's basically what I did. But I'm excited. I'm excited. Maybe being an uncle will change things. But right now, like when
that's
I see.
That's the start it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every kid I see, like I don't have any connection to, I don't have any love for. Mm-hmm. So maybe this will be different. But like every kid I see, I'm like, I look at the parents. I'm like, I know you'd be happier if that wasn't here. particularly in New York, where you see people like hot, dripping sweat, pushing a stroller. I'm like, wouldn't it be nice to be able to just pop into that bar and have a cold beer and chill out for a little bit?
You ain't doing that.
Instead of going to the fucking M&M store.
I got a kid and a puppy. I'm like, what the fuck? I got so much to consider anytime I go out somewhere. I'm like, y'all kid friendly? Yeah, you got crayons? Yeah, you love puppies? Yeah, all right.
Even puppies. I have my family as a dog. I love my dogs. But personally, like I lived with my girlfriend for a while. We since split up, but she really wanted a dog, and I was like, when I come home from work, I just want to chill. Like love is probably something that's missing in my life, and probably would do me well. But I'm like, I don't want a responsibility. I kind of want to just fucking hang out. I'm a man child. I'm a Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not interested in growing up?
Not right now. You know, and it's not like. I'm sure that's the thing. I should be interested in it. Right now, I'm not.
Are you scared of something? Or are you just enjoying everything so much you just don't want to fucking change?
It's a good question. I don't really know. I am enjoying what I do. Right. I think, again, if you want to talk like core happiness, probably not, which probably relates to the other stuff again. But I'm enjoying stuff. I don't really. I'm having fun right now. I'm having fun out in LA, all this stuff. I don't have an active fear. Like, there's nothing in my forefront of my mind. I'm sure subconsciously there's shit. But I don't have any, like, active fear of growing up or of getting older or anything like that. It's just not into it at the moment.
It's interesting. I hear your life, and it's, you know, boarding school and then the colleges and right into Barstool. So I'm not hearing anything in my life, like, building above ground pools and working at UPS. Shout out to UPS Baltimore Hub, Primary One Avenue. You know, lifeguard.
Oh, I had all those
junkyards, but I mean, you go into a pretty damn good gig.
Well, I mean, at the time, Barstool was not a good gig.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, it wasn't at first. Saturdays are for the boys. Is that you?
That is me and a stranger at a bar in Newport, Rhode Island.
Well, tell me about it.
We were out with friends, and some old dude at a bar just kind of like raised the glass to nobody in particular. He was Newport's like a shipping, not a shipping town, a sailing town. So he was kind of like a seafared man, like kind of like the grizzly beard, kind of the leather skin. And he just went, gentlemen, Fridays are for the men. But Saturdays are for the boys. And like, I honestly, to this day, I don't know what the fuck it means. I guess if Friday you were at work and you know, it's what men do, and Saturdays like when you're the boy out and you kind of just rip and run. That's how I've taken it. I don't really know what it means. And I tweeted it and it kind of just went crazy. Like which actually is funny now looking back on it. It's really not that viral. If you go find the tweet, it really isn't that viral. Like compared to, I'll see 50 tweets today, far more viral than that was. But people, it resonated with people and they liked it. And like, so it became this thing that like on Saturdays, people would just wake up and they tweet me gifts like, I don't know, things like Braveheart, all the boys running in, kind of shit. And then that made it happen one or two Saturdays in a row. And then me and my buddy who I was living with at the time, like, this might be something here. Like, let's try and turn this into something. So we started doing four Saturdays in a row. We did like something kind of wild. One, we went like cliff jumping and like just jumped off the cliff.
And you did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I might have started with skydiving. Maybe it was skydiving where I was like, got the video and just jumped out like, Saturdays of the boys. And then cliff jumping. And then we rented a yacht. Which like, that was actually kind of my favorite video we did, where it was like, we had a yacht, like a three-story yacht. I don't know how the fuck we got this. Like, it was the kid who I live with, his name Lou, he was like a salesman of sorts, and not of sorts, he's a hell of a salesman. And he somehow finagled his way into getting us a yacht. I don't know, we did not have yacht money, but So somehow we got a yacht for the day. He might have fucking stolen it for all I know. And we went up with chicks, and then we just threw them all off the third level. We were like, size for the boys, get the chicks out of here. And then the last one was we did a helicopter that's usually like reserved for proposals, where they do like, they carve marry me into the beach for you. But we had them carve size for the boys into the beach, and then we were kind of just in a helicopter going nuts. And then that kind of just, off that kind of just became,
it took off
like probably 2 years. Like it was a really, really big deal for an obnoxious amount of time.
I love that. I had a producing gig for a long time. I'd have different producing gigs, but I worked for Oprah Winfrey's network, right? And they wanted us to go downtown to LA to, there was this big black dude that made delicious fucking cupcakes. And it was called Big Man Bakes, okay? So during the interview, you know, we're talking, and I'm like, now how'd you get this name, Big Man Bakes? And he said the same sort of thing. He said he's at a par. So he said that he really liked this one girl one time, and they were just classmates. And she came in crying one day. He's like, what's the matter? She's like, today's my birthday, and my boyfriend didn't get me a cake or anything. And he liked her so much, he went home and baked her a cake. And then he brought her to her, and it was so fucking horrible that she didn't even want to eat it, but she liked the idea. And after that, he decided, well, fuck it. No one deserves to not have a cake on their birthday. I'm going to start making cakes, which turned into cupcakes, right? So he starts making these fucking ridiculous. I mean, this dude's massive. Makes these kick-ass cupcakes, okay? And he takes them to a party one night, and somebody on the other side of the room is like, man, who made these fucking cupcakes? And then they all point at the big black dude. And he goes, oh, Big Man Bakes. And he was like, boom. And now he's got like three fucking chains downtown LA and kicking ass.
No shit.
It's awesome.
That's fucking cool as hell. Big Man Bakes.
Well, thank you for coming on here. I'm going to ask you this question, though. I'm not done with you yet. Because you have an interesting life. I want to know advice you would give to your 16-year-old self.
Dude, you know what actually is unfortunate is we kind of touched on it, where I think I'd say don't go to college. I think I said that's, but also here, you know, now that I say that out loud, it kind of,
not seven of them.
It might be bad advice.
Maybe go to three.
I think, like, despite, you know, that there was no success, I have no piece of paper. I think they were important years of my life in finding out what works for me, what doesn't work for me. So maybe college was a good idea. Fuck, man. These are all in my forefront because of what you talked about, but I'd say spend more time with your grandfather. I very often in the news these days, I wish I could call up Gramps. Like, he'd have some interesting shit to say about this.
Do you regret not getting to spend more time with him?
Yeah, and I very much regret like just doing like that, like kind of 14-year-old shit where it's like, go see your grandfather. And it's like, no, fuck, I want to hang out with my friends. I know that's the lamest advice. I know that's
it's
bad.
Not. I mean, I say it all the time, man. My dad died when I was 16. These days, he'd been like, hey, do you want to take that ride up to Kmart real quick? Get some. I'd be like, no. I play my video games.
Yeah.
Nah. Now, I'd be like, fuck, yeah. But and, you're 14. You're not supposed to want to do that.
I know.
Shit.
And it's like, it's the advice that's been handed down for centuries, and it just won't
still
stick,
don't listen.
Right? It doesn't matter. So it's bad advice to give to a 16-year-old because it's not going to fucking affect them one bit. But yeah, I miss family. I wish I spent more time with family.
Yeah, that's great. Would you like to plug and promote everything again, please?
If we're right, who knows? But Denver, November 10th. Phoenix, November 11th. Hollywood Cemetery, maybe? I'm going to Google it again. November 12th. But yeah, looking forward to being out here. And then KFC Radio, YouTube, and all that nonsense.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on.
Dude, thank you so much.
Yeah, this
is
great.
Really,
I laughed a lot. It was a good time.
Thank you very much.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.
We'll be right back.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.